My name is Martin Wiegand from Bethesda, Maryland. Thank you for hosting this wonderful, educational, and fun weekend.
Well, thanks for coming, Martin. Yeah.
In this year's annual report, you defended Berkshire's tax payment record against criticism from certain newspaper columnists and Assistant Secretary Pamela Olson. Compared to other large corporations, particularly insurance companies, does Berkshire pay its fair share so we can wear our Berkshire activewear with the American flag on it with pride?
Incidentally, Pamela Olson is here today. I don't know whether she can stand up, but I owe her an apology. She's done a great job as a public servant. I teased her a little bit in the annual report, but she actually has worked actively and at the Treasury in cracking down on tax shelters and some things that Charlie and I think shouldn't exist. So Pamela has my admiration, and like I say, if she's here and can stand up, we'll give her a hand. Some of the tax shelter proposals, I met with her yesterday, and she told me of some things that I'd sort of seen myself, but some of the things that have been done and in some cases sponsored by the most prominent auditing firms, you know, are absolutely disgusting and are the reason why, in my view at least, the middle class probably pays a lot more than they should be in terms of raising the total funds that are needed to sustain the government. Berkshire, as we noted in the report, is a heavy contributor to the Treasury. As I mentioned, if only 540 entities in the country paid what we pay in income tax, no one else would have to pay anything, no Social Security, no nothing. We may own tax-exempt bonds, we own dividends which receive a dividend receive credit, but we pay on a very, very high percentage of our income, including capital gains. We pay at the full 34% corporate rate. So go out and buy the Fruit of the Loom underwear with the flag on it. You're entitled to wear it. Charlie?
I've got nothing to add, but you understate the evil that crept into our leading accounting firms when they started selling these fraudulent tax shelters in exchange for contingent fees. One of them actually explained to me that they were an ethical seller of fraudulent tax shelters. He said, he said the other firms just sold these to anybody, and we just sold them to our 20 most important clients, so they were more likely to stay secret.
Yeah, and of course the lawyers would write the opinion so that if they did get caught with these things that they hoped that no one even picked up because they were so obscure or convoluted, the lawyers wrote the opinion so that they could walk, you know, when the IRS came around, they could wave that letter and say, well, gee, we're sorry, we made a mistake, but we did it on the advice of counsel, and therefore you shouldn't assess fraud penalties or anything. I mean, we don't want to leave the lawyers out of this, Charlie. We had people come to our office, not the auditing firm that we use, I want to make that clear, but we had people come to our office from the top auditing firms with these propositions, which they said we had to sign away a given percentage of the amount we saved, and then they would give us these proprietary methods, where, you know, which would usually involve about 20 offshore trusts and partnerships around the world and all kinds of things. Part of the design being to have so many entities involved so that the numbers that popped up here or there on the return that no agent could figure out what the totality of the transaction was. You know, and it's, you know, those the people that don't pay taxes because of that increase the taxes of the people in this room. So I applaud Pamela for her efforts on that, and a lot more are needed.